Lisa, you throw me off, so I'm trying to throw her off right now. But I love this woman right here, and we're blessed to have her. Amen.
Thank you. What is this about? He left this as a little surprise for me. It's a picture of him and his turkey. You are a turkey. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. And it's such a pleasure always to be able to speak to you guys. I feel like you guys are on the side over there. You okay? Okay. I just wanted to share a couple stories about kids. Kids are hilarious. I remember a time when I was giving Walker a heartfelt talk about something, and I could see his eyes were kind of going back and forth, and I thought, it's really sinking into him. And when I was done with my talk, he looked at me and he said, I wish I was a dog. It'd be so much easier to be a dog. So I guess that wasn't the most effective talk I've ever given. But so here's a couple mom stories for you. Even though the toddler was having a furious tantrum, his mom was unfazed. You may as well give up on the crying, I heard her as she led him to the store exit. You're stuck with me for 18 years. Keep making that face and it's going to freeze that way, was what my mother used to say to us as kids. But I knew times had changed recently when she caught my daughter making a face and said, keep making that face and you're going to need Botox. My cousin was in love and wanted to introduce his bride-to-be to his hypercritical mother. But in order to get an unbiased opinion, he invited over 3 female friends as well and didn't tell his mom which one he intended to marry. So after the 4 women left, he asked, Mom, can you guess which one I want to marry? The one with the short hair. Yeah, how'd you know? Because that's the only one I didn't like. My mom moved into a new condo and I went to visit for a couple of days. Searching for a coffee cup one morning, I sighed. Oh, it seems like I'm always looking for something in your kitchen. That's good, Mom said. When I looked confused, she said, because when you know where to look, it's time to go home. So I just want to say today is a day to honor and recognize moms and to tell you, you have such a precious job. You know, we share children with our husbands, but we get the privilege of carrying them. And we get those 9 months inside of us where God is doing a miraculous work, where the Bible says that he is knitting together, making organs, and he is there. It talks about his presence is there. And so what a precious, precious thing we've been gifted as mothers. But I'll tell you, in different seasons of my life, I've been different moms. And you might be too. And I just want to say this. As we honor and acknowledge moms, there's all kinds of seasons that we are in, right? Some of you are sitting here this morning, and I'll just tell you my experience, and maybe you can relate. And there's going to be some experiences that you are having that I won't be able to relate. But I was the mom in the congregation as a young woman who, on Mother's Day, who had high expectations having first gotten married of, I can't wait to be a mom, as I'm sitting there in the congregation on Mother's Day, 1993. And then I was also the mother in another season of my life who sat in the congregation as this Mother's Day service was going on, who had just suffered a miscarriage, and I sat with a broken heart. And my heart longed for the Lord to minister to me that day. And so I was also the mom who a year later had a swollen belly with my precious Michaela inside, rejoicing in the fact that God had been faithful to his promise to me. Because when I miscarried, I didn't know if I would ever be pregnant again. So it was just such a, so I was that mom on that Mother's Day. And I remember a Mother's Day when I sat in the congregation on a day like this, and I was the mom that was terrified and just seeking after God because a precious, special needs, medically complex baby had just been born to me. And I came into Mother's Day service, and I won't ever forget it, with an oxygen tank on my back, carrying her in. So I've been that mom that is seeking the Lord for wisdom and guidance with this blessing. And I've also, as you all know, I was a surprised mom. to have, after 9 years, another baby, thanking God, Lord, you know, and you've gone before us, and this is not a surprise to you, but Father, it is a surprise to me. So I'm just happy. You need to acclimate me quickly, because I have gotten rid of every baby thing I've ever owned, and I need you. So, and I've also, as you know, been the mom that has sat here having had to say goodbye to one of my children, which is something I never thought I'd have to do, but many of you also had to. So I'm just telling you today, no matter what season you are in, it is a season, and you can celebrate. You are to be praised and acknowledged today, no matter what. And I want to acknowledge those women, because I remember sitting when all of the celebrating was going on, but my heart was breaking. So if your heart is breaking today for any reason, if you've lost your mom, or if you're out of relationship with a child, or if you're out of relationship with your family, be encouraged today, because God supersedes all of that. And we're going to talk about that today, how the power of our spiritual heritage is so much more powerful even than the influence of our upbringing. And we've talked so much about that. And today, I just feel compelled to share with you something I think our society is looking for today, and in women, we have to fight for this, and it is joy. It's joy. So how to have a joy that is anchored? Because I've had joy before, but it's not been the kind of joy that joy was from my circumstances, from my feelings. I want a joy that's anchored, that no matter what circumstance I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what is in my life, I can still exude joy. Do you believe that's possible? But it's going to have to be anchored, right? What does anchored mean? It means it's unmoving, it's unshakable. And the world needs to see that in the church today, and in us women and men, but in us women, that we are unmovable because of an anchor, not because we're special, not because we have some kind of supernatural mom, you know, cape that we wear, but because of God and that anchor that is joy. So first of all, we have to know, how is our faith and our joy anchored? How is that? We've talked so much. I'm just going to go briefly over this. But we know the first step in having anchored joy, joy that is anchored, is understanding the kingdom and that we became new creations in Christ. And so now, as we've taught many times, we're anchored in the kingdom. We're not anchored to this earth. So these circumstances around us can change, but we are anchored as a kingdom citizen, as a citizen of heaven, and we don't have to be moved. We work on a different order and on a different timeline. We're not temporal anymore, because temporal is reactive. When I mean temporary, you know what I mean when I say temporal. Our situations are temporary. One day, like my daughter, she has no worries. Everything's over. I've often thought, as I'm paying bills, one day I won't have to do this anymore. I really have had that thought, like, I'm going to be so glad when I'm dead one day, because I don't have to pay these bills anymore. It's all temporary. Your big fancy house or your little tiny cottage it's all temporary. Who cares? Our kingdom is in heaven, and our treasure is in heaven, and my baby treasure is in heaven. And that's all that matters, is that she's there. And that, so what I want to say about that is just fix in your mind to have a joy that is anchored, that the temporal versus the eternal. The Bible says that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what's unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So fixing our eyes, that's what we need to do to know who we are. And briefly, you know, to have joy that is anchored, we have to see things correctly. And God can help us with that. He can give us clear windows to see him, to see how he works. Sometimes our own perceptions cloud the window, and we misinterpret each other, and we misinterpret God. But he can come in, I call it, with this big bottle of Windex, and just squirt those windows clean so that we see things clearly. The enemy wants to confuse. He wants to discourage. He wants to splash stuff all over the panes of your window so you don't see things the way that he wants you to see them. He wants you to see the temporal, but God's trying to get you to see the eternal. Does that make sense? So we have to ask God to give us clean windows to see things correctly. But I just want to talk a little bit once we have that, once we know we're in the kingdom, once we know where we're rooted and we're grounded, once we can see things the way God wants us to with the proper perspective, that's when our joy can truly be anchored. And joy is not a feeling. Because I can tell you, Mother's Day for me, Mother's Day has two feelings for me. Very joyful, very happy, and very sad. And can I tell you that's okay? Because those are feelings. And feelings fluctuate. But the reason I can stand up here today and talk to you is because past the sadness, past the happiness, there's joy. And the joy does not reside in the fact that I know who I am and I know I'm a woman of God. It doesn't reside in that. It resides in Him. It all resides in Him. Joy, the world will say that it is all is well, all is good. I have joy because all is well. But as believers, it's a deep inner thing that happens regardless of circumstance. Okay? So joy is not about us, right? Joy is not about us. The world right now is very fearful and they're unhappy and they are distracted. And if we fall into that, then we are just as the world. But God is saying, that's the world, but you're not of this world. So rise up, and what sets us apart is joy in the midst of all that. What sets you apart from the world is not that you don't have trouble, not that you don't have sickness, not that you don't have trials, not that you don't have loss. What sets you apart from the world is the joy of the Lord that continues to bubble up inside of you, even though you do. And it's not dependent upon your circumstances. And if you are living that way, stop. Stop it. And get to that thing inside of you that said, Christ is in me. That's what reflects to the world. When you are an enigma to the world that's going through the same things and experiencing the same things that you are, but there's joy. And I don't mean a false joy. I can have joy as tears are dripping down my face. I can have joy, where'd that come from? I need some toys. I can have joy when I drop to my knees at this altar out of conviction because I've just failed the Lord. I can have joy when I get news from my doctor that I never dreamed would come my way. I can still have joy because joy is an anchor that keeps us settled and strong no matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't mean we don't have emotions. I cried last night thinking of my family and how much I wish it was that way again. I'm just being honest. I'm not past it. I don't think I ever will be, that our family is different. But that does not affect who I believe and who I trust and where my hope and where my faith are at. And it's okay for those things to simultaneously exist because they're feelings, and we don't live according to our feeling. We live according to faith. We live according to what we can't see. We live according to the eternal. And when we talk about being anchored, I always do this, but you know, John taught us something very powerful, that our anchor really is not down, because that is like grounding to the world. Our anchor's up. So we lift our eyes from whence come our help, right? That's where our anchor is. How many of you know the scripture? Just, you can repeat it after me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So true. Do you know where that scripture comes from? We quote it, we put it on things, we know it. But that scripture comes from a powerful place. It's in the book of Ezra. And Book of Nehemiah, and it's Ezra. Book of Nehemiah, and it's chapter 8. And Ezra is standing in front of the people, and from day to night, from morning to night, midday, he is reading the law. He's reading the law to all of the people. And the Levites are moving through the congregation of people, making sure they understand what's being read, and making sure that the knowledge is coming to them of what Ezra is declaring. So that's the picture. He's reading the law to all the people. And what happens is this. People heard the law and they began to weep. And that's when Ezra said to them, don't weep. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So what was happening here was they were beginning to feel sorrowful for their sin. As the law is coming forth, it is magnifying their disobedience. It is bringing up in them that they are not worthy of what is being read. And they begin to weep and cry. And so Ezra says to them, don't cry. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's what that means. It means that the renewed relationship with God is your strength. The joy of that, that's the joy he was talking about. A renewed relationship with Christ. And that is a theme that we see all throughout the Bible, New and Old Testament. We see relationship. And do you know God is interested in relationship with you and with me? And that's where our joy comes from, a relationship with Christ. So Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated where? At the right hand of God. And what is he doing? He's interceding for us. That is a pretty powerful picture. A pretty powerful picture. Jesus, when he gave his life, he saw the joy that was set before him. And that joy was me and you being born again. Me and you having that relationship restored with God. We see that his relationship with God was disrupted when he was on the cross. He paid the price, and that relationship was restored with the Father. In David's life and in his history, we see the same thing. He said, after he had messed up royally, create in me a clean heart, O God. And what that means, that literal translation of that is unsin me. Unsin me. So he realized that relationship with Christ was where it was at. That it didn't matter all of the things, the situations that swirled around him. The most important thing was relationship with Christ. And can I tell you, we're no different. The most important thing that God desires with us is unbroken relationship. And guess what? We can't do it ourselves. But the joy that I'm anchored to is not that my life is really good. The joy that I'm anchored to is not that everything's going to be all right. My joy is not anchored to the fact that I can know that God has this great plan for me. My joy is anchored to the person of Jesus Christ. And I trust him and I believe him. And I know he's interceding for me and for you. So when we face these difficulties, it doesn't matter. Our joy and our hope is founded in him. It's anchored in him. Jesus, on his way to the cross, said to the disciples, I'll be back. So if you love me, obey me. And sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. What a gift. What a gift. And he said to them after he said, I'll be back. And if you love me, obey me. And I'm sending my Holy Spirit to live inside of you. He said, these things have I spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. So do you see what happened at the cross? His joy of obeying his Father at the ultimate sacrifice now becomes our joy. So where is our joy anchored? In the cross, in the finished work of the cross. If God never answers one prayer for me, my faith is anchored because of the cross. Nothing. He doesn't owe me anything. And I hate to tell you this, but if your life is going through, I can't tell you your situation's going to get better. But I can tell you that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That his relationship and his vow to you is golden. You never have to doubt that. That's where, if you tether to the circumstances, you will become sorely disappointed. And another scripture that we love to quote is, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and a future. Do you know who that scripture was written to? The disobedient children of Israel, who God warned over and over again, stop worshiping idols, stop sinning. And so because of their disobedience, they ended up in exile. And it's a long story that I could flesh out, but it's such a precious thing. They get put, tens of thousands of them are put into exile. They are in Babylonia, and they're separated from their families. They're even separated from each other because they were put in different regions and things like that. But the beautiful thing is, almost as soon as they arrived, the prophet Jeremiah, God dictated a letter and said, go. He sent it through two men who are mentioned in the Bible as messengers. He sent this letter to them, and that's what the letter said. Hold on. I know how everything looks, but I know the plans I have for you. A promise right in the middle of the worst circumstances. And guess what? How long did they have to endure that? 70 years. But he told them, it will be 70 years, but I will redeem you. I will restore you. And that's what I want to say to you today. When you anchor your joy in the Lord, then that's what your promise is. He knows the plans he has for you, yes. But we don't get to follow the plan. And let me explain what I mean by that. If you trust in the plan, you will be so disoriented, you will be heartbroken, because the plan takes all kinds of different turns that you weren't planning on. So if you're focused on, I know the plans I have for you, plans, this doesn't look like prospering or goodness or anything else, so what kind of plan is this? I know a family right now, and they are not believers, and I pray for them. But they were in a tragic car accident, and the mother was in the car with three of the children, and they had a head-on collision. The mother is paralyzed from the neck down. Two of the children were injured but have recovered, and their baby, tragically, they could not remove the baby from the car before it burst into flames. They are dealing with unimaginable loss and heartache. And I see him say things like, don't tell me God's got a plan for me. This plan is terrible. What? Don't follow the plan. The plan is not the thing. If you follow the plan, when it takes a right hook this way, it's going to throw you for a loop. Follow the man. Don't follow the plan, follow the man, because he will never fail. And even if he could explain it all to you, you would not understand anyway, but the plan is his, it's not ours. And it belongs to him. So don't follow the plan. Don't keep your eyes on the plan. Keep your eyes on the man. He will never fail. So I just wanted to tell you guys this morning, there were a few things that I wrote down. Joy is such a thing in high demand in our society and not very evident. Even in believers, we need to have that joy of the Lord, and not a false, everything's great, but a deep-seated inside of us joy. And the only way that can come is by the Holy Spirit. And that is a fruit of the Spirit that he put inside of you when he came in to live inside of you. It's the infallible sign of God's presence in your life is joy. So there are some things that kill joy in us. And I want to go through some of those because I don't like the enemy. I like to expose him because he's sneaky and he'll come in, and before we know it, our joy is being siphoned out little by little, and we don't even know why. We're going, well, we understand all that. We know it's the eternal. It's not the temporary. Yeah, but what keeps stealing your joy then? What is it that keeps stealing that joy from you? So the first thing I wrote down was performance. Performance is just a joy sucker, right? We can't ever be perfect. And we can do things with excellence, but perfection's a trap. So performance. The second thing is comparison. Man, we are inundated with that, right? We look at other people's Facebook profiles and their family pictures and the size of their house and what they're doing, and we don't realize that's fake book, not Facebook. We only show the highlights. We don't show the lowlights. I'll never forget, we had a family member that they were arguing crazy, getting ready, ravaged. You know, their family was just being ravaged by just stuff. And they were getting ready to divorce. And they were calling us. We were talking through, trying to help them, you know, salvage. But the next thing you know, there they all are on the beach. Love my family. Best family ever. And I'm thinking, whoa. You know, that's the level that we think we have to perform. That we have to live up to these unrealistic expectations. Of course, I'm not saying put all your trash out there. But I am saying comparison is a thief of joy. Comparison. God gave you seeking people's approval, people-pleasing. It's not what God has for us, and it will steal your joy. Worry and anxiety steals our joy. Cues from elsewhere destroy our joy. Because we don't get our cues from the world. We don't get our cues from others. We get our cues from the Word of God. And when we cue our lives and adjust how we think and feel because of the world, then we've lost our joy. And this is a big one, not being present. Not being present will steal our joy. We need to embrace that the past can lead us and take us into shame and regret. And the future can make us fearful. But when we live right in the present, we have all we need for today. God provides all that we need for today. So having a faith and a joy that is anchored is so important. And as women today, I want to encourage you, no matter what season you're in your life, your circumstances don't get to dictate your joy. They may get to dictate your feelings. You may feel sad today. You may feel happy today. You may feel lost today. You may feel a myriad of emotions. But try to separate that and rejoice in the fact that you have been born again. That there is a kingdom that is waiting for you. And that there is a God who gave his son to die for you to make sure that you have joy. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to briefly share that with you this morning, just those words about joy, and encourage your heart to be anchored, to let that be a strong connection, relationship. We've talked about relationship. Relationship with God, a strong connection with Him that will not fail. It won't fail. And I promise you, when you start asking for it, He will give it. He will show you ways to reclaim your joy. He will show you ways to press in to find out what He's really saying and clean your windows so that you see things clearly. So my message is not just for moms today. It's for all women because we all face that. And so we honor you today. Thank you for giving me just a few minutes to pour into you. And I want all the women in this building who are 18 years or older to stand. And we just, as women, whether you're a mom or not, because you will be a mom one day, or this is the other thing, even if you can't ever have children, you can be a spiritual mother to someone. God put it in us, and I'll tell you, the power of your spiritual heritage, maybe you didn't grow up in a home that is wonderful, or you have a mother that is it was nurturing to you. It doesn't matter. There comes a point in our life where we separate from that and we say, when we became a kingdom citizen, I'm a new creation now. And maybe I didn't get what I needed, but I can give what others need. And so I encourage you today to be a spiritual mom to someone. Even if you have physical children, it's so important to find someone to pour Christ into. There are women in this auditorium right now that need your testimony, that need to know where you've been because they haven't been there yet. You need to know where my mom's been because you're headed there at some point in your life. She has a lot of wisdom. Madison, you need to know where Tammy's been, the struggles that she's been through, because her testimony spurs you to victory. And so look around the building. As women, be encouraged. Encourage one another to leave that spiritual legacy. So I just have a small gift for all of you women today. Just to say, it's just a very small thing, but just to tell you, keep anchored to the joy of the Lord. And remember that you are loved, you are treasured, and so many people are blessed because you are part of their life. And we can't wait many more weeks to find out what this is. So, what you're having. So, I'm so anxious to know if that's a little boy or a girl in there. But God is so good, and He's blessed us with so many wonderful things. We want to celebrate that today, and we want to give the Lord all of the glory that He deserves. So, God, we thank You that our faith, that our joy, all of it is anchored in You. We give You glory this morning, Lord, no matter the circumstances of our life, God, no matter where we are today, as we sit in this auditorium, Lord, You are our faithful Father. And so our hope is not in the plan. Our hope is in You, the man. And we give You glory and we give You praise for all that You accomplish in our life. We lay ourselves bare before You to say, whatever glory You can get out of our story, it's Yours. So we thank You for this time together, and we bless these women. Thank You for giving them strength. Thank You for giving them endurance. Thank You for giving them Your word. Thank You for giving them the joy of the Lord. That is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.